Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 84 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. Welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our listeners. This is Match Points segment number 7. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. Charles from East Lansing, Michigan writes, I'm in my late 50s and play at the 4.0 level. I play mostly doubles, but also enjoy the challenge of a singles match. One of the guys I play singles against is in his early 60s. He's fairly typical of players my age. Not so quick around the court anymore, but can hit a wide assortment of shots, from the conventional ground strokes that are relatively flat and medium paced to junk balls that are frustrating to return. After several attempts, I still can't beat him, even though I believe I have a clear edge in virtually every physical aspect of the game. He simply destroys me with lobs and moonballs that are so precise, I swear they have GPS. What should I do against this type of player? Hey Charles, thanks for your question. You know, players who lob or moonball well can be very challenging to play against, particularly for beginner and intermediate level players, who typically are not as comfortable moving backwards or chasing balls deep to the back of the court, or alternatively, taking the ball early and aggressively. Now, without knowing the details of your game, let me offer the following advice. In general, one of the more effective ways to neutralize lobbers and moonballers is to bring them towards the net with short dinks or cuts. The forward momentum combined with the shorter court make it much more challenging to hit the touch or feel shots with as much precision and margin versus hitting those shots from the baseline. Even advanced level players find it challenging to control the placement of their shots when they are brought forward towards the net. So Charles, if you have the ability to draw your opponent in, do that, and you should see a huge drop-off in the frequency of lobs and moonballs hit by your opponent. John from Fort Lauderdale, Florida writes, I'm in my mid-20s and have been a 4.0 level player for several years. I tend to make a lot of unforced errors off of balls that have little to no pace, even though I am there in plenty of time to return these balls. It's very frustrating. Why does this happen? Hey, John, you are not alone in your frustration as it pertains to returning shots that come with little to no pace on them. You know, I talked about this in podcast episode number 52. Many players from the beginner to, well, even the high intermediate levels have consistency issues when they have to supply their own pace for their shots. The main reason why this is the case is because their fundamentals and their mechanics are not as sound as they should be. Let's face it, flawed fundamentals and mechanics will always make it challenging for you to generate your own pace consistently and with control due to a number of factors. This could include everything from late preparation and setup to late and/or off-center ball contact, insufficient racket head acceleration, and poor weight transfer, to mention a few. Moreover, as we get older and our physical skills and strength begin to decline, it becomes even more challenging to overcome flawed mechanics with raw physical strength as we were able to do in our youth. So work on improving your preparation and mechanics. Do that, and you will soon find yourself teeing off on those off-speed and no-pace shots instead of getting frustrated off over balls hit out of play or into the net. Dan from Toronto, Canada writes, what are your thoughts on Federer's recent comments about the lack of net play from current generation of young players? Hey Dan, thanks for your question. You know, the declining prevalence of net play from the game today has been a hot topic of discussion for really over the past decade. The power game of today, or so-called first strike tennis, as many of us call it, has placed heavy emphasis on a player's first serve and first ground stroke following that serve, which is typically a forehand. Moreover, advancements in racket and string technology over the years have made it easier to pound the ball on returns and from just about anywhere around the court. Consequently, virtually all tour players today have rock-solid baseline games, but not so much when it comes to their net games. Now, I want to make an important distinction between having a good volley versus having a good net game. And again, I've talked about this in previous podcasts. Most of the players today have good volleys as it pertains to the mechanics of a volley. However, having a good volley does not mean you have a good net game. For the vast majority of tour players today, coming to net is almost exclusively about following in a powerful approach shot that is practically a winner already and then putting away an easy volley. The challenge arises when a player does not have an easy put-away volley for that first volley. For example, when, say, a player is drawn to net by the opponent and the opponent has a decent attempt at a passing shot. You know, you see this in a lot of the matches every week on tour. With the exception of Federer and maybe a couple of others on the men's and women's tours, players these days really do not have as well-developed net games as they did 15 to 20 years ago. In most of these instances, when a player approaching the net realizes that first volley is not going to be an easy put-away, their lack of instincts as to what to do around the net gets exposed. Now, I thought it was a very positive thing for the game for Federer to have talked about this openly and candidly, especially as a player who is not only considered the greatest of all time, but as an active player, still very much at the top of his game. And by the way, he could probably be number one again in the world again this year. You know, moving forward, perhaps there will be some positive impact on this particular aspect of the game with these comments coming from someone of Federer's stature. Folks, I'd like to thank you for your questions. Keep them coming. I look forward to addressing your questions in future Match Point segments. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally, that's rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.